Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavit Afwai. Just last spring, Myanmar was boasting of democracy to the world. But now, a month after activist Aung San Suu Kyi received the Nobel Peace Prize, an alarm bell is going off. A program against a population of Muslims called the Rohingyas began in June, which has been called an ethnic cleansing of the Muslim population. Why hasn't this received more international coverage? Certainly, Myanmar has become an example of democracy, as deemed recently by the United States, the European Union, and Canada. On this news analysis, we will examine why the Rohingya Muslims, as they are called, are facing this fate, as Myanmar's President Thein Sein says Rohingya Muslims must be expelled from the country and sent to refugee camps run by the United Nations, who have in turn refused them.
Their country rejects them. No other country wants them. This is the plight of nearly 800,000 Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar. And to add insult to injury, Myanmar's president has come up with a new solution. Thein Sein says Rohingya Muslims must be expelled and sent to refugee camps run by the United Nations. He has even topped his last solution with deportation as the ultimate solution. But where to go? Large groups of Rohingya Muslims have already sailed to neighboring Bangladesh, with many dying in the exodus. The Bangladeshi government considers them illegal migrants and deports them. And the UN Refugee Center says it will not help Rohingya Muslims, as it is not interested in creating more refugees. Last month, at least 80 people were killed in ethnic clashes in western Rakhine. The violence erupted following the rape and killing late May of a Buddhist woman. The police reportedly detained three Muslims. Cruelty towards the Rohingyas is nothing new. They have faced torture, neglect and repression in the Buddhist majority land since it achieved independence in 1948. But why are they mistreated?
And given this sort of treatment is for two reasons. One is the fact that they are on a racist sort of concept. These are not the same race as the race of Burmese. And on the second part, they're actually Muslim, and, you know, they're being targeted for both of those reasons.
According to Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, state security forces have destroyed thousands of their homes and conducted mass arrests of Muslims. Some analysts believe a state-supported ethnic cleansing is underway in Myanmar.
We are seeing sort of the same thing that happened in Bosnia. I mean, only a couple of days ago was the anniversary of Srebrenica. And we are seeing the same policies now being implemented, not in Europe now, but in Burma.
Strangely enough, the country's democratic icon and Nobel Peace Laureate Aung San Suu Kyi has also failed to speak out against the atrocities. So what can be done to ease the sufferings of Rohingya Muslims? Some analysts believe the least possible is to pile pressure on Myanmar's rulers to settle the even uglier side of its domestic policies.
We need to put pressure on this new government, which is going around and promoting itself as democratic and a government that is based on empowering of its own people to, first of all, recognize all its citizens, including Rohingyas, and then stop the military in implementing this ethnic cleansing.
Let's talk about this with our guests. Let me introduce some author and Islamic studies expert Kevin Barrett joins us from Madison. We have professor at the Shahid Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto Institute of Science and Technology, Ghulam Taghi Bangash, joining us from Islamabad. And spokesman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, Raza Kazim, joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Professor Bangash, let me first start with you. Perhaps you can give us a history fact check. Who are the Rohingya Muslims, since perhaps many are not aware of them? And if you could tell us about their past. And also the fact that they have been marginalized for some time now.
Yes, they actually, historically, they belong to three different countries. Some came from China, some from very old times, from Bangladesh, and some from another third country. But that is history. And now the stand is such that you see they are being eliminated. This ethnic cleansing is absolutely an international tragedy. And actually, this has been going on for the last 30 years, but nobody knew about it. The persecution was there, but it was not of such a huge scale as it is now. And now the problem is that the government says that these people do not belong to Myanmar. And this is something which is not acceptable. And it is an international tragedy. It is something that those people belong to Myanmar. Bangladesh, they say that they are Bangladeshis. This is absolutely incorrect. A part of them were Bangladeshis in the sense that, well, they were not Bangladeshis, but Pakistanis in the real sense when we go back to history. Before the independence of Myanmar in 1948. So this is absolutely incorrect that they are outsiders, that they must be thrown out. This is ethnic cleansing, and the Myanmar government is lucky in the sense that the Muslim world, majority of the Muslim peoples around the globe do not know about this tragedy. You see, we in Pakistan, for example, have always respected and always, you see, treasured. We feel proud of the Buddhist traditions in Pakistan. Right here, you know, in the suburban area of Islamabad, we have a huge, you see, Buddhist civilization, monasteries, and all Buddhists are welcome to Pakistan, and every year, you know, people from around the Buddhist world come here. But this is very strange. It's a paradox for me to know that the Buddhists, who were historically so peaceful people, they were non-violent, most of their history is so non-violent, and now suddenly this is a huge shock, it's a catastrophe, and not owning them, that is the government, and even this Nobel Prize winner, the lady is so criminally silent about the problems of these this minority in Myanmar, and this is not acceptable. And the more Muslims know about it around the globe, the more there will be problems for the Myanmar government.
And, well, let me bring in Kevin Barrett here. Thank you for that, Kevin Barrett. It's alarming on two fronts what our guest there said. Basically, that A, this has been going on for quite some time, and that B, that it has escalated to the point that it has been called an ethnic cleansing, brings about the immediate question, where has the international community been and the respective international organizations?
Well, the unfortunate answer is that the international community has been absent without leave. They've been looking the other way. And in fact, the international community, led by the West and led by the United States of America, has been pouring more and more investment into Myanmar, even as this horrific ethnic cleansing unfolds and gets worse and worse by the day. What's being done to these people is essentially the same thing that the Nazi Germans did to Jews and Gypsies, the same thing that the Zionists did to the Palestinians, the same thing that was being done to the Bosnians in the 1990s. This is ethnic cleansing, arguably genocide. These people have nowhere else to go. And the idea that a modern government today can say that people who've been living in that country for centuries are not citizens because they have the wrong religion or the wrong ethnicity is a catastrophe. If that's allowed to stand, and if other countries begin trying to throw out groups of people who've been living in their countries for centuries because they're the wrong religion or ethnicity, the whole planet would collapse into an orgy of bloodshed and violence and ethnic cleansing and genocide, and that cannot be allowed to happen. So we need to wake up the world to this situation, and we need to get the human rights groups involved, and we need to get the Islamic world involved, because these are our Muslim brothers and sisters who are being ruthlessly persecuted. There have been thousands killed. There have been dozens and dozens of mosques burned down. There have been many thousands of houses burned down. And corpses are washing up in the river at the border of Bangladesh every day, and yet the world does nothing.
And we're looking at about 1.5 million, roughly, of these Muslims that has been ordered by the president of Myanmar to be sent to refugee camps. Raza Kazim, this is a severe decision by the president, Thein Sein, isn't it?
It is quite a shocking decision, and again, I would like to reiterate that what the silence of Aung San Suu Kyi is quite deafening and quite problematic, that considering that she's going around promoting herself and being promoted as the beacon of democracy, that she has been so silent on this particular issue. And it is worrying that what kind of a democracy and what kind of a world Myanmar is going to become. And also with regards to this, I understand that you had the ambassador of Bangladesh to Britain earlier on, and he was saying that a lot of these people who are being turned away at the borders of Bangladesh are those that are criminals and terrorists and so on and so forth. We've heard this kind of language before, and on the other hand, they're talking about this idea that if they're taken into Bangladesh, that this will encourage the ethnic cleansing to actually take place. And I think it is shocking that at a time when the attacks on the Rohingya Muslim community have gone up significantly, that this is something that is continuing. And I would beg to differ slightly with one of my earlier guests. This is something that isn't new. You know, the attacks, date back to, have been dated back to the 18th century. And this kind of tension and this kind of the attacks on the Rohingya Muslims have been going on for some time. And we need to remember that a lot of these people have actually had no kind of arms or any way of resisting the oppression that's being meted out to them. Whereas in Palestine, for example, you've got the situation that people have got a means of resisting with arms the Israeli occupation and the Israeli barrage. This is something that is not an option that's available to these Rohingya Muslims, and they are, in some senses, a sitting duck. And it is shocking that the world has been silent and has been selective in terms of which kind of people they are prepared to promote in terms of getting rights, but these people who've had this problem meted out to them for such a long time, and this situation has escalated in recent years quite considerably, nothing is actually being done about it.
Professor Bangash, every fact that not only you have presented, but our previous two guests have presented brings up a simple question: why? Why has this happened? Why has this been going on for such time? And why, for example, doesn't the UN want to accept them? Isn't this their job? It's odd for them not to want to serve these refugees, for example, and in addition, not to put efforts as to accommodate him otherwise. I mean, it just seems very strange, the whole situation, and then for example, the UN to react this way.
Yes. You see, the problem is that Southeast Asia is becoming much more conspicuous on the economic map for the United States of America. The Americans actually want to coax them, not only Myanmar, but the other countries, that is Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, all these countries, so that they do not have better relations with People's Republic of China. So that is a part of the problem. And recently, the American Secretary of State the sanction issue, they should have rather strengthened the sanctions against Myanmar until this problem should be solved. But they are not doing that. They want to have, that is, Americans want to have more, better military ties with the government, which the international and, the journalist community, including your good self, very much know that the election was not fair. Of course, there are internal problems, other problems, which contribute. That is, the country, the system is actually antiquated. It is very old, including the banking system and the labor community, the economic, and then isolation, and all those added to the miseries of the different communities in Myanmar, including Buddhists and the Muslims. But this does not mean, you see, that one should be so criminally silent about the plight of this ethnic cleansing. Now the situation is that you see more and more people, because the journalist community, although it is not as free as it should be, but now at least they can write, although they are punished and several cases have been lodged against them in the courts, but still, now the situation for the journalist community is better in Myanmar. So in coming days, what I can predict is that more and more Muslims around the world will know about this, and the situation can become very grave for us in Pakistan if the Pakistani public knows about all this. So there will be problems for Myanmar, and there will be problem for, you know, because that is something which we do not want.
Right.
Because
well,
we have...
Well, since we're running quickly out of time, I've got to bring in Kevin Barrett here. Kevin Barrett, you mentioned the United States. Other guests also mentioned that. Is there an agenda by the United States here? It is kind of odd, isn't it? Secretary Clinton, from what I have understood, has not made any references to this. But a lot of hype about Wall Street companies investing in Myanmar. IMF is going to set up an office there. What is going on here? Why is there not a mention on this?
Well, that's a great question. As the other guest said, this problem has been going on for centuries, but it hasn't happened before that the president has stood up and said that these people are not citizens and never can be citizens. That's an outrageous statement. It's an unacceptable statement, and one would think that the leaders of all nations that claim to care about human rights would stand up and say that's unacceptable. You can't do that. We're going to put on sanctions if you're going to be running your country that way. And unfortunately, it doesn't sound like there's been any such message delivered to Myanmar. On the contrary, the American authorities, led by Hillary Clinton, these folks are just running around the globe trying to be bigger and bigger hypocrites every day, it seems, preaching about human rights out of one side of their mouths. And then, when it's inconvenient to their geostrategic goals or their pocketbooks, keeping quiet in situations that are vastly worse than the places that they're preaching about. So it's a very sad situation, and I think it really shows the need for Muslims to take the lead in human rights. Muslims are being, we're in the lead in being persecuted all over the world. As Samuel Huntington said, the Islamic world has bloody borders, and that's because the non-Muslim world on the borders of the Muslim world is pillaging the Muslim world because the Muslim world is so weak. And in that situation, we need to get our act together in communications and journalism and human rights, and wage jihad by the tongue for all human rights, not only human rights of persecuted Muslims, but we should be taking the human rights lead in all areas of human rights, because the Western powers are forfeiting that, and we may as well move into the vacuum.
Raza Kazim, Western powers are forfeiting that. That's what our guest said, and we have mentioned the United States. There are people that are being washed ashore dead because they're trying to cross the border, talking about close to 1.5 million Muslims. Does the United States think they could just turn the other way as they're parading around the globe, as our guest mentioned there, trying to get investment going into this country? I mean, is this what the U.S. is going to do? I mean, there's got to be another way for this situation to be dealt with by the U.S. and by the EU, not to mention Canada, who have entertained Myanmar recently.
I think one of the things that we need to remember is 3 days ago was the anniversary of the Srebrenica massacre, and at that time this is precisely what was done, where the NATO forces actually looked the other way and the Dutch forces actually sent the men and the boys out to be killed and so on in at Srebrenica. And I think it's something that we need to remember, that the West, the Western powers in terms of NATO, in terms of what America has done, etc., are quite have done this before, and it's something that quite capable of doing again for their interests, as has already been pointed out. And I think we need to remember that there needs to be quite clear-cut ideas about how we're going to actually raise the profile of what's actually going on, so that we're not just appealing to the conscience of the Muslim countries and or the Muslim governments, because many Muslim governments are in the pockets of the Americans and so on. And what we need to actually look at is reach beyond that to the Muslim people. And I would actually say when a case of humanity actually comes out, it isn't somehow that only the Muslim people need to look at this and think there's a problem here. Every person, every human being who has a conscience actually needs to think about, how can I allow this, another Srebrenica, or this kind of ethnic cleansing to actually take place? We know that, for example, in 1997 or around 98, we had a book being published by the name of In Fear of Our Race Disappearing. And this created the climate where this kind of fear had promoted the attacks on the Rohingya Muslims. We've had further statements, as has been said by the previous speaker, by the president, who is again talking about making these people not as someone who are from this particular area. So the climate is being created, and we need to make sure that people like Aung San Suu Kyi, who's supposed to be promoting democracy, actually is pressure is being put on her by all human rights organizations, by people from all over the world, to say, actually, your Nobel Peace Prize is worth nothing if you don't actually do something about and speak against what's going on in your country. It's no good promoting human rights for one group of people and at the expense of another group of people in your country who are natives of that country and have been so for centuries. It is criminal, and it is something that we really need to keep on saying, that how is it that we're going to progress through this? And a lot of pressure needs to be brought to bear on people within the countries, within the ambassadors that are present, Myanmar ambassadors in different countries, and say that this is something that is clearly unacceptable, and this is something that needs to be reversed. Otherwise, the sanctions that we have been on that country for some time need to continue. You know, we've had in Britain, for example, David Cameron, the Prime Minister, actually talking about reducing and working with the Myanmar government and trying to move things forward with giving the Aung San Suu Kyi the red carpet treatment in this country. Again, we need to think about how we can make sure that the pressure builds up in each of our respective countries to make sure that these kind of things do not go unnoticed and people are prepared to campaign. And with regards to that, I would encourage people to make sure that they are writing and putting the relevant kind of pressure on these countries, on the politicians in their countries, on the institutions in their countries, to not do business with Myanmar while this kind of thing actually continues.
A tragedy unfolding right before our eyes. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you very much. Let me thank our guests. Author and Islamic studies expert Kevin Barrett from Madison. Professor at the Shahid Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto Institute of Science and Technology, Ghulam Taghi Bangash from Islamabad, and spokesman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, Razak Azim there from London. And thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. Tell us what you think. Do send us the comments to newsroom@presstv.ir. From Mukavit Aghbay and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.